Welcome everybody to the online Voice of Pentecost Church service. We're glad that you have signed on to be part of our service this morning. Let's just take a moment and pray. Jesus, we thank you today. What a privilege we have, God, to be able to gather together in your name. Ask your Lord that you allow the Holy Ghost to touch everybody in their homes, God, where they are, and bless them. Let the message speak to their hearts. Let the Holy Ghost manifest and minister today, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Here I am,
Lord. Why don't you take a moment and just sing?
Here I am,
his name.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your Spirit move through me. Here I am.
Sing it one more time. Everybody, I think we need to keep that song in mind as I minister today. It's very fitting, and Sister Z has no idea what it is that I'm preaching on this morning. If we can turn in our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 1, Gospel of Mark chapter 1. We're going to begin reading there at verse number 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence, for your hand upon our lives, O God. Lord, I ask that you would minister today, O Lord. Minister to every heart, every mind, O Lord, as we get into your word today, as we desire to draw closer to you, O Lord. I ask you would anoint my mind and my thoughts, God. Give me clarity and focus this morning, O Lord, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning, I would like to speak to you on the topic, Embracing a New Reality. Embracing a New Reality. March 11th, 2020 is a date that I am sure many will not forget. And even though you may not remember the exact date, but I'm sure you will remember the event. See, that is the day that COVID-19 was declared a pandemic. It was on that date that many of our lives began to change. It was then on March 16th that things turned even more drastic for those of us in British Columbia, because it was on that day that the announcement was made to restrict social gatherings to less than 50 people. We were getting prepared to go to men's retreat, and we got a notification that it would be canceled because there's more than 50 people. Hopes were raised that maybe by July that we would be back to normal again and that camp would be able to take place, and that event was canceled. All around us, things changed, things were altered. Events, gatherings, get-togethers were all put on hold because we could not have more than 50 people. A member of my family works in the Lower Mainland and runs an event business, does sound and lighting for these big events. His business, to the best of my knowledge, is no more. He lost everything because of COVID-19. Lives changed. For many of us, the reality that we face each and every day began to change. Stores were closing. Restaurants were available now only for takeout or delivery. People were panicking, and we began to hoard toilet paper, and for some of us, we needed to find a new way to work from home. Our normal was no longer normal. Our normal became something different. But this morning, even though the world around us would like for us to embrace this new reality in which we find ourselves, our current world situation will not be the focus of my message. The new reality that we must embrace, and I don't put this out there lightly, I don't put this out as a request, the new reality that I believe that today we must embrace is that the reality is that we are the child of a king. That we have certain privileges available to us. We have certain things that are available to us as a child of the king, but we also have certain responsibilities. Responsibilities that come from being one of a under an authority of a king. If we look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, Peter got up on the day of Pentecost. Peter began to preach to those that were gathered together. Peter began to speak to those that were wondering why these men and these women came out of that upper room speaking in other tongues, speaking in their own languages, speaking that they could hear them in what they were saying, and they thought they were drunk. And Peter got up and said, "No, we're not drunk, but we have the Holy Ghost." And Peter got up with a boldness and began to tell them what it is that they needed to do, things that they needed to change in their lives, told them who Jesus Christ was, and that it was that Jesus Christ that they crucified, that it was that Jesus Christ that those people assembled together stood there in front of that cross and yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And it was those people gathered together that said that they were pricked in their heart. Because Peter's words began to speak to them. Peter's words began to touch them. Peter's words began to work inside of them. And they began to realize that what they had done and what they had participated in, and they were moved by it. And they, "Now what do we do with what we've just heard?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And we look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." They were those that heard the word of God. They were those that heard the word and were gladly received it into their heart and said, "What we have heard, we want to do something in our lives about this." Peter told them what they had done, and they were convicted. Peter told them what they needed to do, and they heard it. And they desired in that moment, in that time, to embrace that new reality. That new reality that says, "That man that I used to be, I don't want to be anymore." The reality that says that that man who I was is gone, and I want to be a new person. I want to be raised up in newness of life. I want to be a changed creature. I want to give my life to God. The time in which we find ourselves today does not afford the luxury of searching, of studying, of seeking to determine what we believe or who we will follow. If it is written in the Word of God, we must now, today, embrace it. If it's written in the Word, we need to believe it. If it's written in the Word, we need to take a hold of it. If it's written in the Word, we need to say, "I'm going to put that in my life because I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to follow after him." The time in which we find ourselves, this period in history, which every Christian denomination today is referring to as the last days or the end times, calls for every human on this earth to make a decision. And that decision needs to be to follow Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're a Baptist. It doesn't matter whether you go to the Alliance Church, what church you go to, what it is that you believe. Look around. Each one of these denominations are saying that the time and the period of which we're living right now is the last days. Every one of them are declaring that we need to be ready. Every one of them are declaring that our lives need to be given over to Jesus Christ, that we need to follow him. And we have the truth, and we have the way, and that truth is Jesus Christ. That truth is that we need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. That truth says that we need to repent of our sins. That truth says that we must be filled with the Holy Ghost if we want to make heaven our home one day. We can't say, well, no, I don't believe it the way you do. We can't say, oh, no, I want to be able to search it out, and I want to be able to seek it out, because we don't have much time left. Today is that in the hour of which we find ourselves, there is an urgency, there is a necessity, there is an importance to embrace this new reality. James chapter 4 and verse number 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. Well, I've got time. I want to study the Word of God a little bit more. I want to get into the Word. I want to really just grasp it for myself. I want to be able to understand it for myself. But what is your life? But a vapor. We're not promised tomorrow. We know that we're here today. We know that we're here in this moment. We know that we have this opportunity right now that we can determine in our hearts to say, I want to be closer to God. We can determine in our hearts and say, I want a new life. I want to follow him. I want to give my life to him, my all to him. Everything that's about me, I give to Jesus Christ. We have that moment right here in our hands. And we need to embrace that moment. Because we can say, oh, well, I want to study it out. I want to search it out. I want to figure it out for myself. Well, how much time do you have? Do you have tomorrow? I don't believe Jesus is coming back tonight, but I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. I want to know that that's where I'm going. I want to know where it is that I'm going to spend my eternity. You see, the world is swiftly changing around us. 2020 has been a mind-boggling year, but one thing I know for sure is that God does not change. Even as the world ebbs and flows and things change and restrictions are applied to us and restrictions are taken away and then they bring them back again and they tell us what we can and we cannot do and things are moving and changing around us, God doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. If we turn there together tonight or this morning, I'm already getting ahead of myself, making it night when we just barely got up. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So I was thinking about that and I thought, well, I don't want to take a scripture. It's easy to grab one scripture out of the Word of God, and it's easy to say, well, I'm just going to grab onto the scripture, and this is what it says, and this is what it means. But it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if we go back a little bit into the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about things that we need to, the way we need to live, the things that we need to apply in our lives, the things that we need to do in our lives. And he begins talking about brotherly love, and that says, verse number 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Be good to those around you. My wife, working at Chilcotin Handy Mart, comes home over the last course of this last week and a little bit when they've enforced this mask policy, and she comes home every night frustrated because of the rude customers that come in that refuse to wear their masks, and they get mad at her because she's trying to enforce a policy that the government has laid out, which she, by law, is required to ask people to put on their masks. And people like to come in and be rude and obnoxious and bash her for what the government is doing, when the Bible tells us that we need to let brotherly love continue. It goes on to talk about marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can take a hold of these things. And we say what God ordained in the word, of what he put in his word, is the same yesterday, the same today, and will be the same forever. The things that God asked for of the disciples, he's asking of us. What God told them to preach, he's telling us to preach. What he told them to do to reach out to the lost around them, he's telling us to do and reach the lost around us. The things that he told us that were a necessity to enter into the kingdom of heaven is a necessity for us today. It is not open to our interpretation. It is not open for us to go, well, I need to study it out and figure it out. If it's in the word of God, we need to embrace it. We need to take a hold of it today. We need to say, I'm going to apply that in my life, and I'm going to make it a part of my life. He goes on to say in verse number 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. In the first part of that verse. Today, people are trying to come up with all kinds of new rules and new regulations and things that are man-made, and they want to pull you away from the things of God, and they want to alter your mind and alter your thinking away from the things that God instructed and the things that God taught us and the things that God showed us in his word. But it's all man's doctrine, and there's strange doctrines, and there's many of them out there that people are following after. You need to believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that what is in the word of God is true, and what is in the word of God we need to follow after and we need to give our lives to. Today it is time to make decisions, to shun the life that you have been living and to embrace a new reality. Today is the day to say, God, I want to serve you. Today is the day to say, God, I want to give all of my life to you. Today is the day that says that we need to follow you, God. We need to reach for those around us. We need to apply your word to our lives and follow it every day. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is reminding the people of all that God had done for their fathers. How he blessed them. How he led them. How he took care of them. Joshua chapter 24. And verse number 14. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You need to put away the gods of fear, the gods of doubt. Put away the gods of uncertainty and the gods of delay and say, today, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua didn't stand up in front of the people and said, I implore you to serve the God that I serve. But if today you don't want to make that decision, then come by and I'll teach you a Bible study and maybe I'll expound the word of God unto you a little more perfectly, and I'll be patient with you day after day, and I'll lead you down the right path. Maybe we need to get together and have a debate about it, and you can share your views, and we'll get together, and I'll explain my point of view. He didn't do any of that. He said, today you need to make a choice. Today you need to make a decision. Today you need to embrace a new reality. You need to say, I will follow God, and Him alone will I follow, and I will serve Him, and I will give my life to Him. He went on to explain to them about all the blessings and about the protection that God had upon their fathers and upon their grandfathers and upon those that have come before. And he told them about the things that God had done in their lives, how he brought them up out of Egypt, how he heard the cry and the affliction of the people, and he went and he answered that cry. And he says, that's the God who you need to serve. That's the God who you need to give your life over to. I know that God heard my cry. I know that God heard me in my soul, even though I was not physically crying out. I didn't feel like I was in bondage, and I didn't feel like I was bound to anything, but I got to a point in my life when I realized there's got to be more to life than what I was living. When I would go to the bar on a Saturday night and a Friday night and a Thursday night and a Wednesday night and through the week, and I would go there and I looked around and I was 29 years old, and I'm looking and I'm seeing these men and these women that are sitting on the stools and the chairs in the bar, and I'm looking at them and they're in their late 40s and they're in their 50s and they're in their 60s, and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I don't want to be here when I'm in my 40s and when I'm in my 50s and when I'm in my 60s. There's got to be more to life. But the direction that I'm going is not going to take me away from this. The direction that I'm going right now is going to keep me on this bar stool for the rest of my life. And a cry, I believe, went out from my soul saying, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I not end up like these people? And I believe that God heard that cry. I didn't get down beside my bed and I didn't cry out to God saying, God, I need a change. God, I need my course to be altered. God, I need to know who you are. I didn't do any of that. But I believe that all the same, God heard that cry from my soul saying, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be like those people. And then that still, small voice came into my mind. Well, if you don't want to be there, maybe you need to go to church. I never considered that. Church was the last thing on my list of things to do. Never. I hadn't been thinking about it. I hadn't been... Nothing. Nobody had been inviting me to go to church. Nobody had been urging me to change my life. Nobody had been doing anything. But a cry went out from my soul. Just like those Hebrew people that in Egypt, under the bondage of their Egyptian masters, as they were being whipped and beaten, as they made bricks of clay, and as they worked and toiled in the hot sun, and a cry went out from those people saying, God, help us. Right. And Joshua is explaining to his people saying, it was that same God that reached down into those, that heard the cry of those people, that came into Egypt, that sent Moses in, that one man, Moses and Aaron, to go in and say, let my people go. And it was that same God that plagued Egypt. It was that same God that did things that the Pharaoh's magicians couldn't do. It was that same God that urged the Egyptians to give them their spoil, to give them the gold and the things that they needed to make a living when they left that land. It was that same God that was with them when they got to the Red Sea, and they looked back and said, oh, look, there comes Pharaoh's army. It was that same God that parted the sea and made a way for them to cross. The same God that caused the sea to crash down around their enemies. And here you sit and you murmur. Here you sit and you complain. Here you sit and you doubt. Here you sit and you fear. But it was that same God, I'm telling you, you need to serve today. It's that same God that got a hold of my heart, that got into my soul, that led me to the truth of His Word, that opened up my eyes and my understanding. It was that same God that poured out the Holy Ghost upon me and changed my life. And God can do that for you today. There are decisions that need to be made about where you want to spend your eternity. This is a more important decision than what neighborhood you want to live in. or what color car you want to drive. This is not about what you prefer, Coke or Pepsi. This is about an eternal destination. It's about the most important decision of your life. And when you come to realize what eternity is, what it is, especially compared to the time that we spend here on this earth, that's when you begin to realize that a little bit of sacrifice here becomes worth it. Eternity isn't something that our minds can even fathom. I always thought I knew what eternity was, or maybe what it isn't. And I started looking up definitions about eternity. And we've heard the illustrations. Pastor used one here a couple weeks ago about a steel ball and a dove flying around the steel ball and its wingtip just brushing the steel. And when that wingtip can wear that steel ball down to nothing, eternity's just begun. Heard it talked about all the grains of sand on the earth. If you took all of the grains of sand in the deserts and on the beaches and in the oceans, if you took all of them and put them all together and you counted them, the amount of time would be just the beginning. And I think the reason why we can't truly fathom what eternity is because one of the definitions that I read about eternity is that eternity is the absence of time. Our minds don't work like that. Our minds want to look at the fact that we're a month away from 2021. Our minds want to look at the fact that I'm going on 17 years in the church. Our minds want to look at the fact that I'm going to be turning 47 years old. Our minds work on time. Events in our past are time. Events coming up in our future are time. It's everything's around us is about time. But when you consider eternity and the absence of it, seconds won't be ticking by. We won't be looking at the clock wondering how much longer is this going to last. It will last forever. The Bible tells us that we're appointed 70 years. 70 years. We look back to the beginning of creation, thousands of years. And it's nothing in the eyes of eternity. I urge you, and I'm not going to get into it this morning, but I urge you to read your Bible and look at your choices. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. There is a hell that our worst day on earth would probably seem like heaven compared to what that's going to be like. This isn't a time to play games. This isn't a time to play church. This isn't a time for us to doubt and fear. This is a time for us to take a hold of a new reality and embrace it. And say, God, I want to live the life that you have for me. God, I want to live the life that you have given me. God, I want to live the life that you've desired for me. I want to follow you. You made me. You created me. You shaped me in your own image. You breathed that breath of life into me, and I want to give it back to you. I want to follow you. I want to spend an eternity with you. I saw an interesting illustration the other day, and it was talking about depression. And this person said that little saying was what they use for inspiration every day. And it talked about how when you live your life in depression or you live your life in anxiety or you live your life in fear, you live your life any other way than what God is wanting you to live. And one day and I know that this isn't the way it works, but when we go before God and says if you sat across the table from God and you're sitting there after you've gone from this earth and he slides this piece of paper across the table. And on that piece of paper, he says, this is the life that I had intended for you. What happened? It's our decisions. It's our choices that are going to shape our life. We can live the life that God has for us. We can live the life that God has intended for us. We can live the life that God has laid out for us. But it's our choice. And it's an important decision. In our opening scripture, in the book of Mark, chapter 1, we find the place where Jesus is walking along and finds Simon and Andrew, his brother. They're fishermen. They're in their boat catching fish. He's walking along and he comes across these two men casting their nets into the sea, living their life day in, day out. They get up in the morning, kiss their wife goodbye. Maybe their wives have breakfast for them. They kiss them goodbye and say, okay, we're going out to work today. We're going to go catch some fish, make our family some money. Day in, day out, same routine. Maybe they had a bad day and they didn't catch very many fish. Maybe they have anxiety and worries about the fact of what's going to happen when we can't pay our taxes. And those Roman soldiers come knocking on our door. Worries and fears just like you and I face every day. And then along comes Jesus. A man who at that point in time, I don't believe that Simon or Andrew had a clue who Jesus was. Jesus hadn't been going around working miracles. Jesus hadn't been going around turning water into wine. He hadn't been going around raising the dead to life. He hadn't done any of those things yet. Jesus was just starting his ministry and he was going out looking for disciples, looking for those that would come after him. And he walks up to these two men and he says, come follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And I want to look at the next verse because I believe that this verse is very important. Because I don't believe that there's any words in the Word of God that are unimportant. Verse number 18 of Mark chapter 1 says, and straightway they forsook their nets and they followed him. Two common men. Two unlearned fishermen. Going about their day, doing what they do. And along comes this man and says, I want you to follow me. And straightway, they forsook their nets and they followed him. There's two key words in this verse that I believe that we need to follow after and we need to understand. And the first one is straightway, which means at once, means immediately. The second word is forsook. To let go, to let alone, to let it be. They immediately let go of their nets and they followed him. Well, wait a minute, I need to go and see what my friends think. Is this the right decision for my life? I need to go and talk it over with my wife because, well, she may not want to follow, and then in that case, then I better not follow either. They didn't debate with anybody. They didn't talk to anybody. They didn't seek out what other people's opinions were. Jesus came and asked them, come and follow me. And immediately, they left what they were doing. They left their life behind. They gave it all to Jesus Christ and said, we will follow you. We will give our life to you. We will alter our life for you. And immediately, they embraced a new reality. They didn't go back home to their families. They didn't go back home to what they knew before, but they followed Jesus. Jesus goes on, and you can read in your Bible, he says, well, the birds of the air, they've got nests, and the animals have homes, but I've got no place to lay my head. And he had 12 men that followed after him. Jesus, where you go, we'll go. Peter, even to the point when they were sitting around and Jesus is expounding to them that he was going to be leaving, Peter was saying, I still want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go where you're going. I want to do what you're doing. I want this life. They didn't need a 12-week Bible study. They hadn't even received the Holy Ghost at this point. They wouldn't have even heard of Jesus Christ. But they gave up their past life for a new one with him. I think that's the point, and I was guilty of this. I was guilty of that when I came into the church. I was guilty of the fact that I didn't just pick it up and embrace it. I needed to learn of it. I needed to follow it. I needed to study it. I needed to let it get into my heart. But we're not afforded the luxury of that today. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know when his return is going to be. But I believe that we are drawing close. I believe that we're living in a time when we are no longer afforded that luxury to say, oh, just give me some time. I want to find it out for myself. Just give me some time and teach me. Show me in the Word of God. Teach me Bible studies. If it's in the Word of God, we need to embrace it. If it's in the Word of God, we need to follow it. If it's in the Word of God, we need to believe it. Because God is coming soon. And just on a day's delay, on a moment in time when we say, I haven't learned it for myself yet. We're going to hear a trumpet sound. Imagine you're just sitting around your house. Somebody's been reaching for you. Somebody's been desiring to teach you. Maybe you've even been in the church for years, but you're just not doing what you should be doing. Suddenly you hear a sound. What is that? You go to your radio and you play around with it. You think, oh, the power's off to that. My only speakers are off. There's nothing. Check your cell phone. No, it's not ringing. But there's a sound. What is that sound? It sounds like it's coming from outside, and you walk outside and thinking, oh, maybe there's going to be a car driving by with its stereo turned up loud, but there's nothing, and it's quiet other than the sound that you hear just radiating from nowhere. And suddenly you realize it's the trumpet. But God, I wasn't ready. I didn't know you were coming back today. I didn't know that you were going to call us home today. I would have made myself ready. Immediately, you get on your phone. You call your pastor. You start calling saints in the church. Nobody's answering. Where did they all go? Where are they? I'm all alone. I just needed a little more time. Imagine that's what they thought when Noah went onto the ark. When they saw that door close. When the rains weren't stopping. When the waters started rising. When they were finding anything to float on and they were pounding on the outside of the ark. Noah, let us in. We didn't believe you, Noah. We thought you were a foolish man. There's an urgency today. There's an urgency to give up your past life for a new one with Jesus Christ. Those apostles had to wait 3.5 years to receive the Holy Ghost. But you can have it today. As Sister Z comes today, Jesus is calling your name. He's calling for you to make a decision. Whether you're in the church, out of the church, a new saint or a seasoned saint. What you were when you woke up this morning doesn't need to define you. But the decisions that you make from this point moving forward will be that which define you. Do you want to be closer to God? Then get closer to God. Do you need the Holy Ghost? Because you can receive it right now. Wherever you are, sitting in your living room listening to this message, the Holy Ghost can be yours. Do you need to overcome fear? God is with you right now. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." As close as the mention of his name. Wherever you are right now, I urge you to pray. Wherever you are right now, I urge you to not delay. Wherever you are in your walk with God, you don't need to take time to search the scriptures. There's a few key things that you need to do. You need to understand that we are all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Being called a sinner is not a stigma. It's not a put down. It's a reality of what we each and every one of us are or were. Then we need to come to the realization that we need to repent of our sins, which doesn't just mean saying, "I'm sorry." It means saying, "God, I'm sorry, and I want to change. I don't want to do the things that I've done before." We need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. You can be baptized today. And then you need to seek the Holy Ghost. And God, if you've done what you need to do, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Outside of that, you need to do your best to live a life for Him. Holy and godly according to His Word. It's pretty simple. If you aren't ready right now, you can be ready today. I urge you to pray and just ask God. Seek God. Say, "God, anoint my mind. Take away the fear. Take away the doubt. Help me, God, to embrace this new reality. Help me to embrace the reality of what you have for my life. Help me to embrace the reality of your word. Help me to embrace the reality of a life lived for you, God. Help me to follow you every day. Dedicate my life to you every day. Give all that I have to you for this purpose, for the short time that we have left."
Here I am.
your Spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
Let that be your prayer today.
To your will and to your way. Say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
God, help us to draw near to you, O Lord, every day. Help us to give our lives to you, Lord.
Yes,
to be focused,
Lord,
on you, O Lord. To be ready for that call, Lord Jesus. To be ready for your return. To be ready for that trumpet to sound. To be ready for that day and that hour of which none of us know the time. But let us desire to be prepared. I urge you to come back online this afternoon at 2 p.m. Be ready to have your mind and your heart open to what God wants to say to the church today. And I urge you to not forget, each one of us have our own personal Egypt. We have the place that God has brought us from, and He has a promised land waiting for each and every one of us. Embrace that new reality. Embrace the time in which we live today and know that time is growing short. And just say, God, I want to be ready.
Amen.
Tune back in this afternoon, expecting, looking forward to what God has for the church. God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.